If you would, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, as we make our way through once again, familiar thinking. The church is not a building. The church is a group of people. And now we're into when people get together as a church, how should they dress? How much thought did you give this morning to what you would wear? Your physical clothing. I was in a Baptist church back in the 70s that had a rule, women cannot wear pantsuits. Anybody attend a Baptist church like that? Huh? Any ladies wearing pants this morning? How dare you. Baptist preacher made a big deal about that. And yet God doesn't care about those things. There's only two things the Bible mentions about dress. Number one, the Bible talks about making sure you're clean by physical water. In other words, every once in a while it's good that Christians take a bath. Next, it does talk about modesty. After that, God doesn't care how you come to church. Why in the wide world do churches make such a big deal? It's our culture. You grew up in that. If you think it's a big deal about how you dress for church, it's because you grew up in that and somebody didn't pay attention to what the Bible is saying. Maybe the preacher you had? Something. When we emphasize the externals of people, we downplay the spiritual, and God cares how you dress on the inside. But how are we dressed on the inside? Can you tell how I'm dressed on the inside? Can you tell about the next person how they're dressed on the inside? You can't, can you? How many of you know the person next to you has dressed properly for church? And we're not talking about the outside, we're talking about the inside. It's hard to tell, isn't it? The only way you're going to know is when brother so-and-so or sister such-and-such does something by their behavior that reveals how they've really dressed for church. So it's easier for us to judge people on the outside. The thing that creeps me out is, and it's okay, if they want to do it, God doesn't really, but they're now tattooing eyeballs. I don't know how they're doing that. Now, that there's nothing spiritually wrong with that. Just, can you imagine the needle of the tattoo needle? And I've seen these guys. I would love to see what you would all do to someone who came to church with tattooed eyeballs. I bet you that would weird out a bunch of our people, but nonetheless, there would be nothing spiritually wrong with that. God wouldn't judge the person on that. I've seen these guys that shave their heads and then tattoo their total head up here. It was somewhere we were, I think it was Walmart the other day. And the guy had his head all interesting. Then some people actually bury horns. In below the scalp, these plastic horns, and they have horns. But listen, the Bible doesn't place an emphasis on the outside beside this. Peter talks about coming washed with clean water. You don't want people on the outside to stink, right? But even if they did, I got to be honest, that's not what's important in God's eyes. It's how you dress on the inside. Besides modesty and taking a bath, that's about it. It's the inside. So the question then becomes is, when you come to church, Am I dressed correctly for church? Well, how do we, what can't we wear for church? I always used to love churches. No shirt, no shoes. You can't come in here for the service. But let's see how the inside is and what God says. Don't you dare come to church this way. Let's take a look at this. Paul talks about don't walk as the Gentiles walk. We talked about conduct. That's why in verse 17, when he's talking about dressing for church, he's not talking about your outward wear, your Levi's, your shorts. He's talking about darkness. And so how don't you come dressed for church? God doesn't want you to come to church with a hard heart. Look at verse 18. A hard heart. There's no compassion. There's no mercy. God cares that you are compassionate and mercy and that you're not calloused. He also says, don't give yourself over to sensuality. Although all we're hearing about in today's news is that our elites, have you been shocked by what's been coming out about the people in politics and in media? Have you been shocked about that? I mean, I want to know why they're coming out with all of this now. And did you know that Congress has a fund when they sexually harass that you're paying your income tax so that you can pay for the sexual harassment payoffs? Did you know that? Representative Conyers took a fund from Congress and paid someone $27,000 to keep her silent. They say that there's going to be more coming out about Congress. And that they have these funds. And I've been listening and it looks like you ain't seen the last of this. Well, what I said last week was that's how the church or that's how the world dresses. That's really, they don't know Jesus. What can you expect? But we can't come dressed like that. Sensuality, impurity, greediness. And by the way, that's talking there not about money, but a perverted type of greediness. But you, verse 20, did not learn Christ in this way. If since you have heard and been taught the truth is in what? Muhammad. Yes. Well, Alexa says it is. You ask Alexa and she'll tell you Jesus is a fictional character. Every time you buy on Amazon, and I love Amazon, I got to be honest with you. How many of you like Amazon because you don't have to fight a store? I do. But let's send Jeff Bezos a message. That if you are going to do it, you're going to do it right. You're going to change Alexa's programming on that. The truth is in what? Jesus. If you're not in Jesus and you don't know about Jesus, what do you lack? The truth. If Jesus is a fictional character, Paul is saying then there is no truth if there is no Jesus. Jesus is truth. Ask a Harvard, Yale, Oxford, Cambridge professor, they will blow Jesus off. And they think they're so smart. And yet, Paul said, when you come dressed for church, know one thing. The right dress is to know that the truth is in Jesus and to be like Him. The world's going to laugh at you. To be like Jesus is not going to be popular with the world. But the truth is anchored in Jesus. What do you know about Jesus? The more you know about Jesus, the more you know the truth. The more you act like Jesus, the more you know the truth. Who created this world? It was not some primordial explosion billions of years ago. By the way, I just want to let you know, there are no dates on fossils or rocks. They are doing this based on no evidence. They just have a rock. It's all these assumptions that when you look at it, they have nothing to base the dates on. Don't let them tell you about these billions of years. They have no idea. I read an article this morning that when science tells you things that this is certainty, they're bluffing you. There is nothing certain in science. Nothing. For today's science will change tomorrow, and all of these dogmatic formulas in physics and everything else, they're finding out these scientists are arrogant. They think they know something. When it comes down to it, they don't really know what they think they know. And the reality of such is that their methods can't really do it. But they're dogmatic. And the truth is in what? You want to find out the truth? What is truth, said Pilate? Study Jesus. That's it. Now, in the eyes of the world, you will be dressed horribly if you wear Jesus. But you're the one that's dressed right for God. Be like Jesus. The truth is in Jesus. I like to teach like him. Jesus was a nudge. He really knew how to get people's attention. He upset people, but he knew they'd remember what he said. A teacher that teaches and is boring. No one will ever learn anything, because what happens when you have a boring teacher? I'll be honest with you. I had one of the most famous creation science professor in the world. The original creation science professor, his name was Henry Morris. Remember ever hear that name? Henry was a great book writer. Henry was the worst teacher that I have ever seen. He would bore a rock. If that were possible, he could do it. He would read his notes. Jesus was a real teacher, knew how to get people's attention, and he knew how to gravitate people's attention. And listen to me, being like Jesus, you'll always be in the truth if you pursue him. So wear Jesus is what he's saying here. Act like him. Imitate him. As a matter of fact, everything it says in the Bible is moving toward one thing. It says in Romans 8, we're all going to be like Jesus. Wow. Then we won't fight over the carpet. We won't fight over such funny issues. And you won't have to worry about someone who tattoos their eyeballs. The truth will be in Jesus. The more we become like Christ, the more we are dressed for church. Don't let any book tell you how you should act in church. Go to what Jesus did, imitate that, and you're dressed properly for church. The truth is in Jesus. Now watch this. In reference to your former life, lay aside your old self. How many of you, if you were raised in the church and were a Christian since you were young, you probably can't relate to this, but do you remember your life before you became a Christian? The ones that scare me most are the ones that can't ever remember being outside the church, because they are not conscious of how horribly dressed people can be in the world. They think because they grew up in the church that they're goody two-shoes. They're the most dangerous. But people that have come out from the world really know what it's like to be dressed completely badly in God's eyes. So when you come to church, you don't want to be dressed like you used to be in the world. And he's not talking about 60s style, 70s style, 80s style clothing. He's talking about acting like you were before you were Christian. And you can tell the spiritual growth of people by how much they're still like the world. Did you cuss people out in the world when you were unsaved? Did you kind of act terrible? What he's saying by this is, don't act like that now that you're a Christian. That's not proper dress. Did you hate, lie, cheat, steal? Not proper dress. Put off the old self. That lay aside is a word for the Greeks that they used for clothing. That's the important term. So what is dressing for church? Don't come in like you used to be before you knew Jesus. You know, I used to work in churches where we had, most of our people here are retired now. We used to have people that worked, but now they're retired. But many times I've been in churches where guys actively worked. And some of the most dangerous one were these guys that owned their own businesses or high up in business. They would bring their business practice and the way they acted to the church. And it was awful. I had one guy that was a deacon at this one church where another deacon was out eating with a friend and said that this one deacon was a deacon at the church. And the guy said to the friend who was a deacon, "That guy's a deacon of a church? Why, he's horrible. I work with him." Didn't come dressed for church, did he? And he was a deacon. Not to act, not to bring the world. That's what God cares about. Don't bring the world in. Take off that old self, because God says this: wherein the old self is corrupted. How long can you wear underwear before you need to change it? Now, why in the wide world, Pastor Dave, would you use an illustration like that from the pulpit? Because I got your attention. Wearing the old self and acting like the world is like wearing underwear for more than one day. How long have you worn underwear? Day? Two? If you wear it too long, it'll what? So, being like the world as a Christian is like wearing underwear that you shouldn't be wearing after this long of a time. Now, this is what it said. Now, he's not talking about physical stink. He's talking about you stink spiritually. If you act like the world, you come to church and act like the world, guess what? Spiritually, you stink. Don't come dressed that way. Now, I could give you a grocery list. Many of you know I don't have to go through this grocery list. Put off the old self and be renewed. In other words, wash your actions through Jesus Christ. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, watch this. Verse 24. And put on the new self. Come to church wearing the new self. So, what would the new self be like? Your born-again nature that is like Jesus. Wear the new self to church. So what you really ought to do is when you wake up, anytime you come to church and say, "Well, I got to make sure I'm wearing Jesus. I got to make sure I'm wearing the new self." Come in a t-shirt and shorts for all I care and no shoes to church. God doesn't care. But God wants you to wear the new self that's like Jesus and not act like the world and keep wearing your spiritual dirty underwear. Put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, righteousness. You know what righteousness means? Simply, do what's right. What is right? Well, it's what Scripture says. Being like Jesus. Righteousness, holiness, and truth. Now, he's going to delineate this. Here we go. Now the preacher's got to go into how he's teasing out the righteousness that you need to have. Therefore, lay aside falsehood. You know what falsehood is? Phoniness. Not knowing the Word of God. By the way, if you come to a church that's got great music, and that's why you're there, you're not there for the Word of God, are you? We're really here to learn about Jesus, to be like Him. We're not here for entertainment. Tell that to people today. Do you know why most people that go to church go for entertainment? Because that's the whole society has been geared that way. Listen to me. I told my Sunday school desk, you have to know this. 125 years ago, an institution was founded that you know nothing about. You've never heard of it. How many have ever heard of the Tavistock Institute? Well, Sunday school class has, but that was many of their first time. The Tavistock Institute was started 125 years ago approximately by the British government. Now, wait a second. What does the British government have to do with anything? Well, the British government 125 years ago was the most powerful government in the world. Britain sent out more missionaries in the world than even the United States. We were in our infancy. And what did Tavistock do, Pastor Dave? They studied people, why they act, how they think, what they do, and how you could be manipulated. You mean to tell me, Dave, that the government wants to know how they can manipulate their people? Yes. What people are like, you ought to look up the Tavistock, T-A-V-I-S-T-O-C-K. They studied humans. And by the way, Freud's cousin was one of the heads of it. I forget his name. They studied, and the Royal Institute of Affairs studied scientifically what makes humans tick. Today they'd make you think that psychology is just now learning about people. That's not true. The Tavistock Institute had people wired at the late 19th century. They know what you think, how they can manipulate you. They have it down to a science. They then went in and infiltrated all forms of media. Every form of media that you can think. How many of you, I'll give you an example today. How many of you are on Facebook? By the way, Facebook just didn't get founded as a weird idea by a guy. Psychologists were involved and are involved in Facebook because of the Tavistock Institute and what they know. And they've learned that they can actually begin through Facebook and these media to manipulate your mind. How many of you have ever seen where you want people, have told you, or you want people to like something on your Facebook? You get all of these likes. Well, they long ago discovered through studying man and the brain that every time you get a like, it puts a what they call a dopamine cascade. Your brain secretes when it gives you this like. They know how to do this, that when people like what you've put on there, you get a dopamine cascade. That's a feel-good chemical. And what happens is when you do something that makes you feel good, what happens to you on that action? You do it more. So people, they say today, here's what have happened to people today. There are people, I kid you not, they've shown videos of this. Don't watch them, they're horrible. They're walking with their cell phone in the subway systems of New York or back in Philly, and they walk right across tracks, and the next thing you know, they're right in the middle of the tracks in the train. So engrossed were they in what they were doing on their cell phone that they never heard the train, saw it coming, and are killed. And why is this? Because they've had a science for 125 years. They know how to addict you. And what the Bible is saying is all of that the elites do to addict you to falsehood. Now, I'm not saying Facebook is evil per se, but I'm letting you know the game they're playing. Alexa would be good if it would tell you what to buy, not tell me about a fictionalized Jesus. Some programmer somewhere did that. Nonetheless, they've got you wired, and the world is false. Don't come to dress at the church with the falsehood of the world. Now look what it says. Speak the truth. So where are you going to find the truth? By being like Jesus in the Word of God. We are members of one another. Stop. Haven't David told you, is the church a building? Did I just hurt the church? When your little kid spills their bottle on the carpet, they didn't hurt the church. They hurt the carpet, and we want kids. We'll clean it up. You hurt the church because we are you ready? There's a dynamic relationship. God says, when you become a part of God's people, we are members of one. In other words, this is our family, and you can hurt. How many of you have family where people aren't hurt? Oh, please, let me tell you about my family if you don't have family trouble. We are members of one another. So therefore, when you come dressed wrongly for church and you don't treat your fellow believer right, you're hurting the church. We are members of one another. So here's what he says. Look at the first thing. Be angry and do not sin. Oh, let me tell you about this verse. This is interesting. How many have ever gotten upset with another fellow believer, or at least a professing believer? How many have ever? Something that brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so did or said that ticked you off and you are mad. I make people mad all the time. Either I say something in class, I preach something in church. It's the nature of the business. As Michael Corleone said, this is the business we have chosen. I remind myself when people are coming at me, and then you ought to see some of the things I write that you know nothing about. I got something I just wrote coming out, should make a whole seminary mad at me. But this is what I do. If you don't make anybody mad, you don't get anybody's attention in one way, but in another sense, here is what Paul is saying. You see that word, be angry? Are you ready? That's a command. Be angry! Okay, how many of you say anger is sin? Come on. No. Anger is not necessarily sin. That's a command. Paul is saying, in the form of the Greek, it's okay to be angry. Anything ever really torque you? How about your spouse? Does your spouse ever do something that torques you? How about a friend? Fellow believer? Of course. Paul says, be angry. He's saying that it's okay. There are going to be things that are going to make you upset. Now, first of all, I know some people that get angry. They're just angry people. I think that somehow, genetically, some people lean toward being angry. Everything makes them mad. Yes? No? Then he says this. Yet don't sin. Now, how in the wide world is it okay to be angry and yet you don't sin? Why? Because if you come to church angry at a fellow believer, I'll tell you, it ain't going to be very long. I've been in meetings, elders' meetings, when I first got here that I could not believe. Alan wasn't a part of it. As a matter of fact, it's been much better because Alan knows how to moderate. But when I first got here, Alan wasn't in it. Others were here. I'm the only one. You know, I was thinking about that the other night at the elders meeting. I looked around going, my aching back. When I first got here, I'm the only guy that was still here when I first got here. All the elders are different than when I first got here. We had a massive exodus when I got here of guys that were elders. What? You couldn't believe. Elders are to be the spiritual leaders of the, and you couldn't believe what I saw. And they were all mad at each other. And we had one elder that eventually ended up putting literature while the church was going on. He was putting literature against the church all through the back. How in the wide world can you be angry at someone and yet not sin? Because if you get angry at your spouse and you start throwing things, did you see the bruise that I got? You're going to quickly go from anger to sinning, right? Come on now. Here's what he says. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. You know what that means? It's okay to be angry, be angry. But don't sin, because sin quickly will become what? I mean, anger quickly will become what? Bitterness, hostility. I've seen people come to church, they won't even talk to each other. They're not dressed for church. We've had phone calls. Well, I can't get into the sound system anymore of the phone in there. I got to get Diana to give me back. Years ago, they changed the code. When another elder was here, they changed the code for the messages on the church phone. But before that, I could get in, and we had phone calls of people leaving angry calls about everything going on at the church. And I got a kick out of them because I'd listen going, "Woo!" Someone was calling up, leaving these messages, telling the church people off for some reason. You'd be surprised. I lost my code. I don't know if it's happening now because I can't get into the system. I don't know the code for the messages anymore. But maybe it's better that I don't. Actually, the people that are left after that are usually good, decent people. We don't have it most of the time like we do. Although Wanda, every once in a while, and Linda Mattia have to stir things up. But here is what it says about anger. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. What's it saying? It's okay to be angry, but don't sin. Get over it quickly. Resolve the anger. Are you angry at someone? How long have you been angry at that someone? Anger's hard to let go. The more it's in there, the more it's like a barb that sinks in and you can't get it. I'll be honest with you, I'm not saying I'm innocent here. As a preacher, I'm not the most, you know, calloused preacher where it does bother me. I'm more of a Jeremiah than I am. Ezekiel I always liked because Ezekiel could shave all his hair off. Isaiah went naked and barefoot. You know, did you know that? Isaiah 20, look it up. Or 20 or 22. God said to him, "Isaiah, take your clothes off and walk naked and barefoot in Israel." And he did it for 3 years. How do you like that? How do you like that? I couldn't do that. Isaiah shaved his hair off. He must have had a lot of hair because then he had these two piles of hair, it says in Ezekiel, and he divides them up, telling Israel, "That's what's going to happen to you. They're going to put up siege mounds and take you over." Isaiah walks naked and barefoot. You ought to see what the prophets did. Me, I'm Jeremiah. All Jeremiah did was say, "Lord, you know, you're giving me a tough message. I'm not cut out for this." But here's what it says. When you're angry at someone in the church, okay, you may even have a right point. Be careful. But you may even be right. But don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your... In other words, by the end of the day you became angry, you better be over it. Otherwise, you're not dressed for church. As a matter of fact, Jesus even told this, and I don't have time, we'll go into it next week. Jesus told the parable of when you have a problem with your brother, before you come to the temple and do your ritual, make it right. And then do your ritual. So the way you come dressed for church is to be like Jesus. Don't act like the world. And when you do get angry, and that's okay. Most of the time, but be careful because the anger doesn't mean always it's righteous anger. Quickly, get over it. Because if you're still angry at your brother or sister in the church, you're not dressed for church. This is what he's telling us. So the first thing here is dress like Christ, and we'll go through... Going through this, how do you come dressed for church? And not one time will Paul ever say he cares about your outside. Because God cares only about one thing. Beyond take a bath and be modest, dress right on the inside for being with God's people.